Welcome back to the Mental Status Podcast. This is a podcast created by psychology students for psychology students. We are your hosts,
Yash
and Josh, and we aim to demystify the unknowns of studying psychology and share our insights along the way. We would like to begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land in which we plan, write, and record this podcast, the Turrbal and the Yuggera peoples. We pay our respect to the elders, past and present, and we recognise that this has always been a place of teaching, learning, and storytelling.
Today's episode is a bit of a fun one. I don't know how to explain it, but essentially I had a lovely listener DM me and tell me about this podcast idea where how people tend to react to her when she tells them that she's a psych student. And that just got my brain spinning. And I was like, we could do a whole episode on this because there are so many things. I feel like psychology especially, like there are so many things that you hear as a psych student.
It seems to elicit such a reaction from
people. I know. And so I put up a poll on our Instagram, which collected everyone's opinions, and everyone came through. There were so many responses.
Yeah, I think it really hits home.
Like, really hit a nerve.
Even when you showed me that message, I remember having like three things off the dome that were, oh, I remember hearing this all the time.
And I could relate to pretty much every single one of them. So I thought it'd be kind of funny to talk about our collective experience of being psych students and the can't swear, the stuff that we hear.
Yeah, I think you can swear here, but we were tossing up whether to call this, what was it? Shit psych students here.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're towing the line between professional and casual.
Yeah, but anyways.
Today's a bit of a fun one, I think.
I think so too.
It's a little light one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to do your mental status?
Sure.
Tell me your highlights of the week.
I'm actually going to go back and I want to reignite something that we did at the very beginning, which we haven't kept on top of, which is giving an update on our whereabouts right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We did this for like one episode.
Yeah.
And then we forgot every episode since.
Yeah, because you know when I listen to a podcast, I love to know where they are, what are they doing.
We want everyone to be in the room with us right now.
We're on the floor.
Yeah, that's gonna need more context.
Seems to be a place that we're at a lot.
So Josh, we're lying on my carpet because it's a little bit cushioned in terms of the sound.
Yeah,
we can be close to the microphone.
What else?
And we have our coffees. It's a Sunday morning.
Yes, I'm filming. What time is it? Like,
it's about 8:30.
Eight. We woke up at 6:30, and then we just—I don't know how 2 hours just went by.
Yeah, and yeah,
now,
I think
now we're here. I have aerial yoga later, so that's me.
I don't know. All right. Well, my mental status this week is very good. It was a good week. It was a busy week.
Mm-hmm.
I think what made it good was that I had a lot of little things during my week, which I really like. So on my weeknights, Monday, we went on a little grilled date night, 2-for-1 burgers.
Oh, yeah. Grilled has 2-for-1 burgers. And usually you could do the lamb ones, but they've cracked down and they're only letting you do chicken or
this is like the footy deal. Pick your team and if they win, you get 2-for-1 burgers.
Yeah, so we've like strategized and Josh has chosen like the teams that we each pick. Like we have different teams, so we essentially get a free voucher every single week.
So I may have picked like the four favorites across the NRL and the AFL for us. And Tuesday, caught up with a friend who's been traveling and they're...
Wait, I have a question. What's your grilled order?
I'm being convinced of the Bar Bar burger.
Yeah, that's what I always
every
get
day. But if not that, maybe some of the HFC stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, sorry, go on.
Yeah, and then just during the week, it was lots of little things. Like, we had a bit of a gatho with... I haven't used that word in a long time.
Sounded really...
Took me back to, like, my high school days.
Gath is what we would call it.
Really?
Yeah, we didn't say gatho.
Oh, Victorians.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Tuesday, caught up with them. I had a really nice night. Wednesday, we went to trivia, also had a nice night. Thursday, I treated my classes and then made peanut tofu sushi.
Yeah, and then Josh accidentally bought like silken tofu instead of firm tofu. It's a rookie mistake that every new tofu...
Well, I know the right tofu to buy, but I just wasn't paying attention when I bought it.
Okay.
So we had very sloppy peanut tofu soju.
It's like mushy sushi. Yeah,
it was interesting. And then Friday, went to the footy with a mate, and yeah, it's been
good game.
It's actually been a good little week of those little things. I think I want to do more of that, where I have lots of little small things throughout my week.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you enjoy the week more rather than just think about getting to the weekend.
But you're like speaking to a bunch of psych students that are like stuck doing assignments.
Guys, it's nice on the other side.
I know. I tutor like psych students, and to see like the amount of work in late nights that they're pulling, I'm like,
yeah, it's very you're almost impressive. There.
It's horrible. Like that's what it was like to us, and it was so annoying hearing people do all these fun things on the weekend. Just couldn't relate.
Really quickly, you know what I used to always wonder as a psych student?
What?
I used to always wonder whether people's, like, sympathy about doing assignments was just, like, kind of, like, pity. False. Where they didn't really... Yeah, they're
they
like,
didn't get it.
Oh, it's so tough. I realize now, at least maybe because we've been through it,
no,
that it's actually very authentic.
You have to go through it. Some people just don't, like, get it.
But what I mean is that, like, I used to think that people just kind of said it for the sake of it. And, like, even previous psych students, you know, yeah, it's tough, got to get through. Maybe that's actually one of the things it's like students here.
No, that's what I was going to say. People don't actually realize how long it takes, the study, the work. Anyways, we'll get into it.
What's your mental status? Because I've taken up plenty of time.
Rude, like 6 whole minutes. Yeah. No, my mental status is, again, I'm so much better than last year. I am starting to post more on TikTok again, which is fun.
Sri Lankan grocery haul.
Yes. I mean, my Sri Lankan videos don't do as well, which doesn't really matter because I love posting them.
Yeah, exactly.
What else? Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, this week, a major highlight was SAPS, so Students Against Placement Poverties. It's like a collective of students. Their National Week of Action. So they had a forum on Monday, which popped off. Like, there were so many people there, so many intelligent, like, smart, just, oh yeah, it was such a great meeting to hear people, the effect that it's had on people, but not only that, just possible potential solutions and benefits. And then there was a lot more organized kind of action today, so not today, this week. Yeah, so I don't know. That was definitely the highlight of the week, just seeing people come together. And I really think this is going somewhere. Like, the amount of progress SAP and all these students just talking about and spreading awareness about placement poverty is just had a huge impact on, I think, the whole entire movement. And I really foresee this changing quite, like, soon. So I hope everyone listening to this, if you're an undergrad by the time you get to masters, this will be different for you. All right, should we get on to the episode?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. So how I'm going to do this is Josh hasn't actually seen many of the comments that people have put through.
But presumably I would have heard a lot of the comments that they're entering.
Exactly. So first I want to know if you've heard it, and then I want to just know your thoughts on that.
I'll try to give my response where I can.
Okay. Are you psychoanalyzing me right now?
Stop psychoanalyzing me.
Yeah.
Are you psychoanalyzing me?
I've definitely heard this one.
Oh, I've heard it 50 times at least.
So many times.
Yeah. And I wonder if it comes with like a little grain of like genuine concern behind it.
I don't think so. I think it's just people trying to be funny. Like, I've gotten it so much when I used to work at retail and you're having conversations with the person that you're serving and they're like, oh, what do you do? And I say, oh, I'm a psych student. And that's the first thing that they always say. I'm like, haha.
Yeah, I think some of the time people are genuinely like, are you psychoanalyzing me right now?
Yeah.
Are you? I actually need to be careful not to, because there's so many on the back of this that I can think of that are in the similar vein, but I'm not going to.
They're
going to
come up. But, okay, talking about this one, even, like, coming from like having done masters and engaging in like kind of actual therapy,
understanding psychopathology,
literally the moment that you leave the classroom, like you just, or leave the therapy room or whatever, you just kind of switch it off in a way. Like you're never actually looking at someone and kind of psychoanalyzing them.
Yeah, it's not an active thing. But in saying that, I do think that it's an interesting kind of like internal thing. Not like during conversations.
I'm sure it's changed the way that I perceive people.
I think a great example is like, let's say you're watching a reality TV show.
Oh, yeah.
You might look at that and be like, okay, you know, there's some interesting sort of traits going in there. You might have some ideas about where that comes from.
Mm.
Or if you hear certain details. But definitely not like in everyday conversation when I'm at the shops or hanging out with friends.
Yeah, sometimes I do like put theories down, like I wonder if this is could be explained by something else, but it's never to the point where I'm like, you can't engage in a conversation and kind of psychoanalyze like all the time, you know what I mean? So,
I guess that's kind of therapy, isn't it?
It's not even psychoanalysis. You have to be like trained for years and years and years.
Yeah, it's a different thing.
So it's just completely different. So I really don't. I'm not above anyone. I mean,
even sometimes you'll have like I'll have like a friend be like, oh, you know, can you sort of explain this? Is there some sort of psychological reasoning behind this aspect of me?
Mm-hmm.
And even if they ask me, I'm like, I don't know, dude.
Yeah, no.
I'm not getting into this.
Okay, Nat really came through and gave us so many great comments. But one that I really liked was, someone recently told me my degree will be useless and that AI will take over. Thoughts?
I think that there will be services of AI in psychology,
mm-hmm.
as in every industry. But I think the idea of it being taken over by AI, which is to say that there will be no use of humans in therapy, is just too much to replicate.
What about like a deep fake psychologist? So if people don't know what deep fake is, basically it's like an AI clone of yourself, for example, you could make, and they could be a psychologist giving someone therapy. What if that happens?
I guess it depends how how much it tricks them.
Yeah.
But for me, if there's any indication or cue that this is not a real person that you're talking to,
mm-hmm.
that's going to undermine any degree of perceived support and empathy mm-hmm. from that.
Yeah, definitely.
But you were mentioning something interesting though about how certain aspects
mm-hmm.
of AI might be able to be beneficial, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean like your basic kind of some like CBT tips could be useful for someone who's like waiting for support and just getting something in the interim. But for me, with my own personal experience of therapy, the most, as in me being like a client, the most useful things for me have been those process issues. So, you know, how I'm, you know, reacting to something that, you know, my therapist said to me, or my defenses that come up. And that to me was the most useful thing, and you can't replicate that if you don't have another human to elicit those things. You know what I mean? So, yes, I think it will, to some people, they'd be like, oh yeah, I could see how your job could be taken over by AI in terms of like just giving you advice, which is not psychology, by the way. You don't give people advice. But when you actually learn more about it, you're like, oh, this is very unique and it can't be replicated by AI. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I also think that there's just so many nuances in therapy.
Mm.
So I guess in a nutshell, yeah, it will have a place, as it will in the world in general. I don't think that it's going to be anywhere near taking over therapy, taking over our jobs.
Mm.
So Nat, you're safe. Don't worry about it.
All right. I have a really good one. Charlie, again, came through with some great suggestions. Charlie said, I have had people start to trauma dump on me.
Yeah, this one happens.
Yeah.
I actually can't think of a specific example of this, which is interesting. But I know for a fact that whether you're saying, oh, I'm a psychologist, or I'm a psychology student,
mm-hmm.
some people might take that as an invitation.
Yeah. I've had people just spill out their deepest, darkest secrets. Like, for example, again, when I worked in retail, some of, like, the people that I worked with, or even, like, customers would just start telling me stuff. And at that point, I was, like, a very recent psych student as well, so I really didn't like, there's nothing that I could really do. And I was like, okay, do you wanna buy these gloves? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but it's something that happens a lot, I think, to me.
I can remember being, like, a very fresh-faced psychology student. And it's really funny to me thinking back to that kid being, like, told all this, like, heavy stuff and being like,
okay.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't really have a comment on this one because obviously you can't really respond to it any sort of way. But
it definitely happens.
It's definitely something which I think if you're a psych student, you should prepare for at some point.
Okay, I have an interesting one. So this is from a neuropsych's perspective. They said that they had people assume that they're judging their child's developmental progress. What are your thoughts on this?
You know, I can't really relate to this one too much. I don't think this has happened to me, but has this happened to you? Because you're coming from the ed dev
side stream. Of things. Yeah. I don't know if it's really happened to me because people have come to us with, like, wanting support. But I can see how sometimes if you're saying, hey, like, let's do assessments, for example, they might think, oh, like, are you going to be assessing my child and deeming, you know what I mean?
Are you making, like, a judgment diagnosis?
Or,
are you labeling my child?
Something like that. But it's more just psychologists, they are, obviously, you know, right? You're all psych students. Psych students and psychologists are the least judgmental people that I've met personally. I think a misconception about psych assessment is kind of judgment and kind of making, yeah, those labels and diagnoses based on your judgments. But it's more actually trying to understand and break down certain phenotypes or behaviors to understand their root cause to then make a diagnosis, which, you know, there's debate about whether diagnoses, like the impact that they have on people, but in essence, they're just trying to get that specific support that addresses that underlying kind of diagnosis as opposed to just, like, treating behaviours that may not actually be as relevant, if that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah.
But I can also understand it from the flip side of things because if you're a parent and you're taking your kids somewhere, there's probably going to be this innate feeling of wanting to go, oh, there's nothing wrong with my child and I don't want to hear otherwise. Because they're worried that they're going to be told that. Obviously, they're not. And a big part of us working in that area is going, everyone has their various strengths and weaknesses, or their very various presentations. We're just looking at better understanding your child's unique presentation.
Mm.
But it can be super easy, I think, to fall down and perhaps that defensive route a little bit of going, well, don't tell me there's something wrong with my child. Of course you wouldn't want to hear that.
Mm. Okay, I have a pretty funny one. The amount of people who say, so you can assess how crazy I am.
Yeah, I've copped that one a fair bit. Or people going like, oh, I bet you've never seen someone like me before.
Oh, I'd be a great case.
Oh, yeah, that one. Oh, that's spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit of a... I never have a great response to that one.
No. No, thank you.
Get out of my league. Yeah. Get out of my depth.
Yeah. No, that's a really common one. This one is very interesting, but my least favorite stereotype that psych students get is that they're trying to fix themselves.
Oh, the students themselves are...
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how to respond to that one because I think that is a big motivator for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't know about fix themselves, but I think a lot of psych students are very, very self-reflective and I think they want to understand and be aware of things. And if there is anything in a psychological front about them that they might want to get a better, I guess... Yeah, insight into.
I guess people's interests stem from personally things that are personally relevant to you. And so, there are people who go into it with that personal interest. So, could look like they're trying to fix themselves.
Could I interpret, or like, could I throw out another one very similar to this, which may already be there.
Yeah.
This is about any psychologist or psychology student who has their own mental health difficulties and people going, well, why would I want to see a psychologist with anxiety?
Oh, my gosh.
Why would I want to see a psychologist who has depression if they can't treat their own mental health?
Yeah.
It's like in the same vein of like, doctor, you've never broken your leg. How can you treat this?
Yeah, the lived experience can be...
It has a place.
Yeah, it has a place. Absolutely. It may not be like, it's not, you don't have to have lived experience to be a psych by any means.
Yeah, that's the big... But I've heard that a few times. Frankly, particularly perhaps from older generations, well,
like,
a little bit.
How can you... Oh, my God, my parents have been like, why are you mad? You're a psychologist.
Like, shouldn't you know better?
Yeah, shouldn't you have no emotions?
It's like, you should be in complete control.
Yeah, that's very, very frustrating. That riles me up.
No, there is one, by the way, on this list, which I'm waiting to see. Like, the most famous one, which I haven't heard yet. So I'm curious to see if it comes up.
This is along the lines of psychoanalyzing me, but I've had a few people say that they've found that people they've met or friends have withheld information because they think you're going to psychoanalyze them or judge them or diagnose them.
Okay. That one is
new
to I guess taking it to another level. It's actually not new to me.
Someone's done it before.
I don't know if they've withheld information.
Yeah.
But I have had friends who have said
that, I don't know if I want to tell you this because...
Yeah, that or something like, you know, all psychologists, they're a bit scary because, you know, it's like they're always analysing you. And it's like that idea of them actually being worried that that's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's definitely... I think it's happened to me and I think it's also happened to me without knowing. Like, I'm sure people have withheld things because they don't want me to, I don't know, just... Something about it creeps people out.
Yeah, like they think you're going to do something malicious with that information.
Yeah.
But I reckon as well, there is the opposite of this, I think, is even more common.
Yeah, the trauma dumping.
Yeah. I think even if it's not trauma dumping, but just people turning to you. And there's a reason that they do, because I think a lot of people who go into psychology like this role and like being the supportive friend. But it makes sense that people go to their psychologist friend to talk about these things.
I think it's becoming, the trauma dumping side of things is becoming more prevalent, like as mental health becomes more okay to talk about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I think I want to say as well, because I think I still like when people come to me
and talk about stuff,
but I just preface all the time that, like, you know, I'm not saying this as a psychologist, I'm saying this as your friend.
Yeah.
And I'll always tell them something like, you know, putting it politely, oh, well, your psychologist wouldn't tell you to get stuffed, that sort of thing.
Well, it's kind of hard, and this is a continuous debate in terms of, it goes back to individualistic and collectivist cultures, and like, as a friend, should you be helping and listening to people's stuff and the emotional labor? There's a whole conversation around this. But it does get exhausting sometimes when your job is hearing a lot of things and that's all you kind of hear from your friends, like you're tasked as the problem solver. So I can really see how that can get exhausting.
Yeah, I agree and disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think for anyone, that's compassion fatigue, isn't it?
Mm.
But I think that depends on the dynamics in those friendships. If you have supportive dynamics, then when they come to you, you're going to be, I know I'm going to be super keen to help.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a dynamic where perhaps they're coming to you and it's not reciprocated, it might feel like you're being used a little bit more for that sort of role.
That's a bit more draining.
That is, yeah, 100%.
Well, it also depends on what season you're in. So when I was in Master. When I was in Masters, I honestly couldn't take on people's stuff, like in my personal life. I'd be like, sorry, I can't help you.
There are absolutely times where you don't have as much capacity.
Yeah.
100%. I like how this really covers that you will either get told way too much or get told way too little.
I have two now that coincide together. The first one being people just assuming that you're a psychologist after 4 years, or surprised when you say it takes 6 years to become a psychologist, and also people saying, why didn't you just do medicine and become a psychiatrist if it's already that competitive?
We've talked about this before, but we didn't really know how long the journey was.
Mm.
In fairness, I didn't know that I wanted to become a psychologist at the very beginning. But yeah, it is pretty long to become a psychologist. And in terms of comparing the journey to becoming a psychologist and the journey to becoming a psychiatrist, look, if I was capable of going back and doing psychiatry...
Would you?
Instead of doing psychology, yeah, I probably would have. If I also felt that I had the cognitive capacity, which I'm not sure. But yeah, I actually don't fully disagree with that. But as for the other part, I also can understand people not knowing how long the journey is. It's frustrating when you're talking to someone and...
They assume it's just 3 years in your psych.
Oh, the amount of times I'd hear, so how long have you got left? When I had like 3 years left and it just sunk my heart a little bit more every time I had to say, well, I finish honours and then I got to do 2 years of masters.
Mm. I mean, yeah, I think I still wouldn't want to be a psychiatrist, in my opinion. I mean, you can do the same kind of things. Obviously, psychiatrists can prescribe medications. But just seeing my sister who's doing medicine at the moment and the amount of, like, study and late nights and... The whole reason why I didn't want to do medicine is that you kind of have to, like, I chose psych because it was a type of healthcare where you didn't have to interact with, like, bodily fluids and that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
Whereas if you're trained to be a psychiatrist, you can't just train only in psychiatry. You have to do everything first and then specialize in psychiatry. So you have to be prepared to do all of that. And it's a huge commitment, right? Like, you're still... really studying until your late 20s, 30s, like my sister and her partner. And to specialize, you know, you have to do exams. And it's just a really, really big, big commitment. And, I mean, same with psych, right? But yeah. I think there's more, perhaps, less, like, total, like, cognitive and time investment in psych compared to medicine, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can agree and understand that. I guess what I wonder
about... I don't mean cognitive as in it's not hard, but in the sense of, like, you have to be switched on for more hours of the day, to be honest, to be able to do, like, the whole placements in undergrad and then doing those long shifts is what I mean. Yeah, okay. Sorry, go on. To clarify.
What I was going to say is that I agree completely, but what I do wonder about is the... perhaps effort to reward ratio.
Right, like pay.
Sort of, yeah. Once, you know, granted we don't do as much time and maybe as much as a medicine degree does, no denying.
Mm.
But also I think that the remuneration on the other end of it is not comparable either.
Yeah, but you also have a lot more legal responsibility, you know. Usually if you have a team within a hospital, your psychiatrist would be the person at the top that eventually, like, takes the responsibility of each decision. So in a way you're getting compensated for that, like, litigious nature of it. And not saying that psychology isn't that
litigious. Yes, you absolutely have it. Well, you definitely huge have a high degree of responsibility.
Huge responsibility.
Still. Duty of care.
But that's with any professional, you know what I mean? Like, if you go into any professional industry, if you're holding, like, a lawyer title or a accountant title, psychologist, psychiatrist, any sort of, like, title that is regulated, it's regulated for a reason because you have a lot of responsibility.
Regulated. I kind of disagree with that a little. I do agree, but people's lives aren't as much on the line, I don't think, when it comes to their accountants. I would wonder whether there's just a little bit of a difference between those.
Yeah, but also if you do, there are still huge consequences. Obviously, it's not life or death, which is, like, huge, but you've also got other consequences, which can be equally as stressful to people. So, for example, if you miss something, it could, like, end up being, like, tax fraud or something, you know what I mean? Which could then get people in prison and companies could whatever. So I guess it's a lot of stress for either or. But I'm just saying that psychiatrists seem to have, from my outside perspective, because obviously I'm not a psychiatrist and I don't know really the ins and outs, but it seems like a very stressful place. But yeah, and I don't know about medications. They just seem like a whole can of worms, like interaction effects, knowing what, like, you know, those trial and error type things. And psychiatrists are so in demand in the sense that there's not many, so your appointments would be really short, and it's psychologists that are doing more of the people work usually, you know what I mean? So
yeah no. At the end of the day, you know, this is perhaps a bit of a rabbit hole.
We're just like debunking myths, which is funny. Sorry I interrupted you, go on.
But at the end of the day, I think it's going to come down to person to person.
Yeah.
There's going to be some people, like, who look at it and go, damn, I should have done psychiatry. And other people who go, that is not for me. And
you're such a fence sitter.
Oh, stop it. Splinters at my
ass. Someone said that to me. I was in an interview and then they said, would you prefer cats or dogs? And I was going to say dogs because I'm allergic to cats, but I was going through this whole story about how there's a recent cat in my life, which in my share house, Babu, who you may have heard in episodes, and I was talking about how, you know what, he's kind of changed my mind. But then I was going to say, but I'm allergic to them, so dogs. And then someone called me a fence sitter, and that was really hurtful. But I am a little bit of a fence sitter.
Yes. I mean, I know where I stand on it, but I don't think there's an objective right answer to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we have gotten to the end of the episode. I didn't think this one would go 32 minutes. We still didn't fit all of them in.
I know.
And we haven't talked about perhaps the most common one that you get.
Can you read my mind?
I'm angry just hearing that.
When can you think of a context when someone said that to you?
Oh, so what do you study? Oh, I study psychology. Can you read my mind? Are you reading my mind right now? And I'll normally play off some joke, being like, yes, I am. And, oh, no, they're terrible. Oh, dark thoughts. No, no, no. And just turn it back on them because I've heard it so many times.
Yeah. I've heard people, like, when I was initial, like, in my psych degree, people trying to, like, either on dates or, like, they would always say, like, can you read my mind? I'm like, that's just the biggest red flag and turn off. But it just, this is over.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a really good episode. Thank you so much for everyone's responses. I was very thoroughly impressed with that.
Yeah, yeah. That was a fun one.
And there was one that I couldn't relate to.
Yeah, there was a lot of responses. You guys really came through and they were all really, really good. Yash sent me, not all of them, but she sent me, you know, a selection. And genuinely every single one brought up such a reaction.
I know. Okay, should we wrap it up here? I gotta get to aerial yoga.
Places to be. Yep. Very important person on the microphone right now.
Yep. Yes, thank you so much for joining us today. We always love having you. Tune in. What?
We always love having you there
listening. Follow us on our Instagram. I'm really scared about the US TikTok bans, so I feel like I have to move everyone over to Instagram just in case that disappears. So please follow us on Instagram because that might become our main form of communication, I think.
Our link will be in the bio, or you can look us up at Mental Status Podcast.
Mm-hmm. Or you can always email us with just what's going on in your life and
all sorts of things. Episode ideas,
inbox
comments.
Inbox is open.
Tutoring inquiries, yes. Whatever it might
be. This episode was because of a listener who suggested we do this, so.
And I'm excited to get the audience's gauge on the sort of things they'd like to hear. So I think at some point we need to put out question box, poll, something to, yeah, hear what people want to hear. What do you want tips on? What do you want advice on? So I think we should do that.
That's true.
Okay, we are running overtime. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you next week.
Bye.
Thank you.